You know, I asked them to help me with that on Saturday morning in the group that helped us. They did, but that ended up being the battle cry through the entire camp. Every game had a battle cry in front of it. Any of the preachers that got up had to do the battle cry. So these guys enjoyed it. And I'm going to give them a chance now to tell you their thoughts and opinions about camp and snow camp. And then we're going to see some photographs, and I'll give them a chance to talk about them as well if they want. Who wants to go first? Everybody's going to talk.
Hold the mic up so we can hear you.
Close to your face.
It was a great camp. I got to be totally honest. We had a great time, and the sermons were phenomenal. I came home talking to my mom. I said, man, I wish you could have been there. Some of the sermons and stories just were amazing. I love how we had just everything worked out. One of my favorite parts was when Pastor Tom walked up here. He walked up, and right away he said, this is a safe place for you guys. This, you can come with any cares, ask any questions, write them on the whiteboard so no one knows that it was you asking the question, and we'll give you those answers throughout our sermons. We'll answer your questions and all kinds of stuff. It was just a phenomenal camp for me personally.
Dominic?
I really enjoyed it, and it was like I got closer to the youth group, and it was a nice opportunity to meet new people and become friends with the other church that was there.
Let's hear from one of the ladies.
Can I just say there was no discipline in the girls' room? That was all guys. At like 11:30, I said, everyone be quiet, we're going to sleep.
She wasn't charged.
That was my job. We had a lot of free time. Like, we could just go to the gym and play and do whatever we wanted, basically. And then we would come in, stuff our faces with food, and then we'd have another sermon and go back and have more fun.
I don't go to this church, so meeting all of these new people, I felt like family. And going to this retreat, because I haven't gone with a retreat with my church, but I just felt closer to God and closer to this youth group.
So it was actually very fun. Like, all the sermons were like really deep and stuff like that, especially the one on Sunday, because Ken was the one who did the sermon on Sunday, and apparently Jacob, Jerry, and Tom had hit all of his points that he was supposed to talk to during his sermon. So he did a sermon that he used to do again, and he said that during, I think it was like Jerry's sermon, that God spoke to him and told him to do the sermon, and so it was really, really deep. But, like, other than the sermons and stuff like that, we had a lot of fun. Like, we did pranks on the boys, which was hilarious. Yeah, and then there was a cat there that we all loved. Then we did, like, yeah, we played in the gym.
Oh.
Yeah, Peaches. But then we, like, played games in the gymatorium and stuff like that. We had, like, a really, really fun time there. And I think all of us, like, got closer to God when we were there, so.
So when we did our, like, when we split up into groups, Jerry was our leader. It was me, Dominic, and London there. And that brought me a lot closer to God. I felt, I don't know, it was a really big deal to me that I was down there. And I had a really good time. When we did free time, we'd all go to the gym. And every once in a while, they had a game, like an activity. And I don't know, I really enjoyed when we broke up into small groups. And we did separate sermons together, and that meant a lot to me.
Okay, I'm not a much disciplined person, but I had very mature girls in my room, so I didn't have to worry about it, so I could go to sleep. I watched these children grow in the Lord. I watched them worship Jesus, and it touched my heart. And I just want to let you know that we're like the oldest youth leaders in the world, but I did snow tube. I just want to let you know that. I tried. Okay? She had to pull me down the hill, but I did do it. God is working with this this group of young people. We are a young youth group. This is 14 and younger. But God is molding them and growing them, and I see it. And with the other, we have three other ones that are a part of our youth group. And God is touching our hearts, and I just praise his name for it, and I long to see their spiritual life grow. So pray for all of us. God is mending, growing, touching our lives.
All right, we've got some photographs for you here. This was our group there at the retreat center at Camp Ulidgewa. Everybody's smiling. Must have been after a meal. This is during the meal. Here's Caleb in London. We call it London mid-bite with a cinnamon roll. Dominic, I don't know what that is. Is that beets in your plate or?
Cranberry
sauce. That might have been the turkey dinner.
Oh, my gosh.
Kendall, Abby, good job. Vegetables on the plate. They're all still on the plate, but you at least took some. And this is one shot of the girls getting ready to go snow tubing. And there's the girls' room. Not a whole lot. Like I said, it wasn't real plush accommodations. Oh. What do you want to tell us about this one? You want to tell us anything about this picture?
Okay, so for one of the pranks, we took binoculars and then we took football tape. And then we put... So we took it and then...
Well, they were snow tubing. I took the football paint and I put it on like the rim of the binoculars. And then I ran in, grabbed Caleb, Joshua, and London, and made them come outside. And, like, surprisingly, there was something, like, in the trees. So I made them look in the trees to see what it was. And I got Joshua first. I made him put the binoculars up to his eyes. And then, because London didn't see the black around his eyes, he grabbed the binoculars out of Joshua's hands and put it up to his eyes. And so they both got it. But then Caleb didn't do it because when London took down the binoculars, he was like, "Hey, Joshua, you have something on your face." And then Joshua was like, "You do too." And then they noticed that there was football paint on the binoculars. But, yeah, that happened. And then I grabbed – so I had football paint on my finger still because we were outside and I didn't have, a paper towel. So then I put it on my face, and then I went back inside and I did it, like, really fancy and stuff like that. And then that happened. But then we also gave the football paint to Dominic, and then he sabotaged London while he was sleeping and put it on his, like, in between his eyebrows and made him have a unibrow. Which, the worst part is, the football paint doesn't come off. So it was stained. But yeah, that's what happened.
I have no idea where they got binoculars and eye black. This is the van ride on the way home. So even after sleep deprivation and some amount of discipline, they're still pretty happy, still having a good time, still enjoyed the weekend.
Can you explain why we're awake?
Yeah, they were awake. They were awake because they all wanted to stay awake all night, and I wanted to go to sleep. So when we got to the van, I said, "Listen, you all are staying awake so that I can drive home. You got to help keep me awake." I said, the very first one of you that falls asleep, wherever we are, on the interstate, on the turnpike, I'm slamming on the brakes, I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, and you're all going to get out and do a Chinese fire drill. You have to run around the van three times, which I never would have done, but they did not go to sleep. Since a couple of our guys weren't able to make us with it, we threw some pictures in of our other members of our group here during getting ready for... The barnyard was Aiden and Tyler. They're painting the door. And there's Grant and the little pig back in the back. You can see hiding back there in the hay. That's some of the other members of our youth group. We wanted to make sure we got them up there and embarrassed them too. That's our group coming back. Give them a round of applause. You guys can sit down. I have one more slide for you and something to share before I dismiss the children for Children's Church. And as the kids told you already, something different happened at snow camp. And one of the things that happened was, for whatever reason, God took over and the leadership allowed it. And when God took over, Pastor Jacob preached his sermon on Friday night, right after dinner. And before he got done preaching, the other three men who were due to preach all started changing our sermons. And we all thought that there was something special that we had for the kids that we had worked on for weeks, a special message to bring them. We had all talked. Our theme was going to be, Are You Ready? And we had all worked on, Are You Ready for Eternity? Are you ready to serve Him? Are you ready to follow Him? Are you ready for Him to come back again? And that's where we were headed with our sermons. And even though that's where we ended up coming back, the Holy Spirit got a hold of us and made every one of us change our sermons around completely, including your senior pastor. That's a change for him, right? And he was the one who initiated the change. And one of the things that initiated the change was some of the questions that we got from the kids after our first service. Pastor Jacob preached, and after Pastor Jacob preached, we took those 52 kids and we broke up into groups of small groups. And we got off into different sections of the facility, and we had lessons with the kids. And we gave the kids an opportunity to ask us questions. And you know, when you get teenagers together, a lot of times they clam up a little bit. And our kids did not clam up. They asked some very pointed questions. And when they asked those pointed questions, they got to us. They made us have to think. Some of those questions: if God loves everyone, how can He send anyone to hell? How would He allow anyone to go through that? If God loves everyone, why doesn't He accept my friend who's a homosexual the way they are? If God loves everyone, how can it be that somebody who does one thing will go to hell for it? The last slide I want you to see is Vanessa. Vanessa was a very troubled young lady when she got to snow camp. Now, our snow camp was our group of youth whom are regular church attenders, come from Christian families. For Crossroads Missional Church, it's more of a mission to them. It's more of an evangelistic thing to them. So while they have their youth group, they also go out and they evangelize kids in their school. And they bring kids that are not Christians. So a large part of the group that was there didn't know Jesus Christ. And Vanessa's question was, my father recently died of a drug overdose. And if what you tell me is true, he must be in hell. How do I live with that? We had discussions with Vanessa. And we let Vanessa know that even though her father died in a bad situation, that there was still hope, that none of us knew his heart, and none of us could give her any guarantees, but that if he had a relationship with Jesus, that the day he died, he met Jesus, if he had that relationship. And the hardened heart that she had, and the anger that she spewed at us when she asked that question, In the morning session, Vanessa gave her heart to Christ. This is on the way home when we were getting ready to leave. She didn't have that smile when she got there. We had 52 kids there. And in the last session, the girls told you, Pastor Ken preached the dramatization of Christ last day on earth. And he had all the kids stand for 25 minutes and close their eyes while he went through the dramatization of Christ on trial, Christ being beaten, Christ being crucified. Before we left there, he had an altar call and he asked kids to raise their hand. And out of 52 kids, we had 11 teenagers make professions of faith to accept Christ as their Savior. What a wonderful time. We didn't know why we changed what we were going to preach, but we did. And the Spirit of God ran all over that place. Besides the kids that made profession, there were another dozen or so that raised their hand and said that they wanted to recommit themselves to serving Jesus. All of those children or teenagers, whatever you want to call them, are now under the wing of their youth leader, and those things are known. And we just praise God for the way that he worked. Let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll dismiss the kids. Father, we praise you and we thank you for Snow Camp. We thank you for the decisions that were made there for you. We thank you for the new names that were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, be with us as we finish the sermon and service today and serve you and worship you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Kids can go to kids' church. Are you ready? One of the things that we talk to the kids about, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for eternity? Have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? That's the only thing that gets you ready for eternity. Are you ready to serve Him? Are you ready to follow Him? When I ask the kids that, I kind of asked them and got a response back. Are you ready? Are you ready to serve Him? And the kids kind of all shook their head. Yeah, we're ready. Well, there were a lot of other people that thought that they were ready. Let me ask you about a guy that you may have heard of named Daniel. How many of you know the story of Daniel? All through Sunday school, Bible stories, right? Daniel. Where did Daniel end up? In the lion's den. You know, when Daniel stood up for what he believed, do you think Daniel was ready for hungry lions? I don't think Daniel was ready for hungry lions. How about David? King David. Before he was King David, he was a shepherd boy, right? As a shepherd boy, they sent him out to do battle. Now, he had been a shepherd boy. He'd been out in the woods. He had fought off some bears. Maybe even a mountain lion, some wolves, sticks and rocks. But they sent David down to go up against a guy who stood twice his height, twice his girth. You think David was ready for that? You think David was ready for Goliath? I don't think so. How about a guy in the Bible? Anybody heard the story of Balaam? Balaam the prophet. Balaam was on the road to power. Balaam was a prophet. And then the Moabites came and said, hey, you know what? Those Israelites are coming through, Balaam. We'd like you to come and pray against them because we think maybe we can take them down. And Balaam said, you know, I'm on the line of power. I don't know about that. They said, well, how about if we give you these big sacks full of money? Balaam got on his donkey and he started riding in to pray against them. About the time he was halfway, The donkey jumped over in the ditch, throws Balaam to the side. Balaam gets up, can't get the donkey to move, starts beating the donkey with a cane. About that time, what happens?
Donkey
the donkey starts talking. You think Balaam was ready for that? I don't think so. How about a guy named Moses? We know the story of Moses, right? God chose Moses to bring the Israelites out of captivity. He got the Israelites, he put the plagues on Egypt. Even after everything that had been done, Pharaoh finally turned them loose. They're heading out, they're heading for the promised land. They get to the Red Sea. Moses was ready, right? He was prepared. He said, all right, all you guys get in these boats that I've got here docked for you. Everybody jump in a boat, we're going to the other side. Right? Somebody's laughing. No, there were no boats. Moses wasn't ready. Daniel wasn't ready. David wasn't ready. Balaam wasn't ready. Moses wasn't ready. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? 1,200 degree furnace. You're going to walk into the midst of it. I'm sweating up here right now. Do you think they were ready to walk into a red hot furnace and come out unscathed? I don't know about you, but I don't think they were ready. Now, I asked a question a moment ago whether you thought you were ready or not. What do you need to be ready for? Well, my Bible says that we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Demons, Satan himself. You're ready for that? You all ready to go out and do battle against demons today? I don't know. I know I'm not. But I know who is. The God that lives inside of me. He's ready. And he will make you ready. Your weaknesses will be made strengths through him. How do you prepare yourself? I don't know. Let's take a look at a good example of somebody who was prepared. In Matthew 4, if you want to turn your Bibles there, Matthew 4, Jesus went out into the desert to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And after being in the desert by himself 40 days and 40 nights, Satan came to him and Satan tempted him in three different ways. In the first way, after not eating for 40 days and 40 nights, Satan said to him, hey, here's some stones. You can turn them into bread. You can have all you want to eat. In verse 4, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Then Satan again came after Jesus. And he took Jesus to the temple. And he took him to the highest spot on the temple. He said to Jesus, throw yourself off. Throw yourself down. Prove who you are. Prove you're the Son of Man. Because it's written that he will have his angels take care of you, that he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And Jesus answered, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Satan tried one more time. He took Jesus up to the mountaintops and he said, all of this can be yours if you'll just worship me. You can have everything. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. You see the common theme there? It is written. Jesus answered, it is written. Jesus had all the power in the universe. He had every single power that God possesses himself. He was God on earth. He could have done anything he wanted to. He could have answered those questions in any way. He could have zapped Satan. But he answered him, "It is written." So when you go back to Ephesians and it says that we fight not against flesh and blood, when those temptations come your way, when those problems come your way, when it comes to whether or not you're ready, answer, "It is written." But you have to know your Bible to be able to know what is written. When it comes time to fight those things that are coming your way that you're trying to run away from, "It is written." You know, my Bible tells me about temptation. It doesn't tell me to try and stand there and do battle against it. It says, "Flee, turn and run." And here's Jesus, not doing battle in his own strength, but through the strength of the word. "It is written." Are you ready? The answer is no. But our God is ready. Now, we've changed things around a little bit here this morning. We're going to worship the Lord a little bit more in song. We're going to sing the rest of the songs that we have planned. And I'm offering you a chance now to understand that. Are you ready? Are you ready? It is written. Let's worship the Lord in a mighty way in these last couple songs. And I've got a closing for you before we close the service. But our worship team is coming back now, and we're going to sing.